Shabbos Daf Chaf Aleph. So we have a brace that says that all those wicks that we had said in the Mishnah that you can't use for Shabbos and these oils that you can't use, they're fine to use for a large fire for Shabbos. If you want to have something going for heat or for light, you can have it on the floor, on the stove. These are all fine. However, the only problem is when you're using it as candles for Shabbos. You can't use these wicks and these oils for your Shabbos candles, but you can use them to light a fire for your own personal enjoyment. So what's the Shemen Kik that the Mishnah is talking about? Shmuel says that he asked a bunch of seafarers and they said it's a bird which is called Kik and they extract oil from it and that's what Shemen Kik is. Rabbi Yitzchak Berei de Rabbi Yehuda says it's cottonseed oil. Reish Lakish says it's oil from the plant called Kikayon Diona, because that Kikayon Diona is the plant, the tree or plant that Yona sat under at the end of that story. Rabbi Bar Chana says that this plant looks like a Ricinus plant, and it grows from pond water, and the merchants take it and they hang it on the entrance of their stores, and you can extract oil from its kernels, which is where we get the oil from, and all the sick people would rest under its branches. Rabbi says that the disqualified wicks that the Mishnah is talking about that you can't use is because the flame flickers on them, and the disqualified oils are because the oil doesn't catch onto the wicks very easily. So in both cases, the concern is that you might come to adjust the lamp on Shabbos because they don't burn well, and so you might come to adjust the lamp, kind of tilt it over to get the oil more on the wicks or to make the flame be better. So that's why we don't allow you to use them. So Abai asks, can you pour some good oil onto these so that it can help the bad oil catch onto the wicks? Meaning if you pour a little oil in there, a little good oil, then that's going to help the bad oil catch onto the wicks. So is that okay? Rabbi says, no, that's not okay, because you might come to just use bad oil alone in the future, and we don't want that. However, we have a brace that says that you're not allowed to wrap bad wicks around good wicks for Shabbos. But Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says you are allowed to do that because in my father's house, they would wrap the good wicks over a nut, which, you know, seemingly would not be good, and they would light that. So Abai is saying, look at Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. He says that you are allowed to do that. And Rabbi will say back, well, the Tanna Kamma, the first opinion of the Braisa, says you can't. Why are you attacking me from Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel when the Tanna Kamma says you're not allowed to do this? So Abai will answer, well, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is explaining what they did in practice. And we know that practice, something you did in practice, is better than just a theoretical ruling. And isn't Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel saying that you're allowed to light this wick that you wrapped around a nut? And so Rab is going to answer you that no, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is teaching that you can use the nut just as a way to hold the wick up above the oil, to kind of let the wick float above the oil. However, if that's true, then why would the Tanna Kamma be against that? There's seemingly no problem with that. So really, this entire brisa is going like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The first part is teaching you that you are not allowed to light with a bad wick with a bad wick that's wrapped around by a good wick, meaning a good wick is wrapped around a bad wick. So that's what the first part is teaching. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is also adding onto this that you are allowed to use something bad to hold up a good wick. However, Abai trying to prove his point that you would be allowed to use some bad oil, some good oil to help out bad oil, he brings in a statement by Rav that says if you have melted tallow or dissolved fish innards, you're allowed to add good oil to those. So we seemingly tallow and fish innards are things that you're not allowed to use as wicks and oil. However, in these states, Rav is saying that you are allowed to use good oil to help them along, and that's fine. So the answer is that these oils are basically good as they are when they're melted and when they're dissolved. These are good. However, in the case that Rabbi was talking about from our Mishnah, those wicks and oils would not be good on their own. However, the reason that Ravs can't be used on their own, that we have to add some good oil to them, is a gzeira, lest you come to use just regular non-melted tallow or non-dissolved fish innards, which wouldn't be good alone, so therefore we make you add good oil to these, even though really they do burn on their own nicely. We don't want you to use similar things to them where they're not melted or they're not dissolved with just on their own, because that wouldn't be a problem. But if that's true, then why are you allowed to even add good oil to them? If we're worried that you might come to mix them up, you should just not be allowed to use them at all. So the reason is that this in general is already a gzeira, that you can't use the melted tallow and the dissolved fish innards, and we're not going to make a gzeira on the gzeira. Rabbi Bar Chama says that you can't use those wicks and oil in the Beis HaMikdash either, because the pasuk says la'alos ner tamid, to kindle the lamp continually, and it's basically teaching that it has to be a good fire. We know these don't produce a good flame. So we have a mission that says, though, that they would use the worn-out pants and belts of the Kohanim to make wicks. So here we see they're making wicks out of wool, and wool would be something that you can't use to make wicks with. So how are they using wool to make the wicks in the Beis HaMikdash? So we answer that those are being used for the fire at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which is not a D'oraisa thing, and therefore it was fine to use a flame that wasn't going to burn as well. However, Rabbi Bar Masna says, quotes a braisa that says that they would make wicks from the worn-out clothes of the Kohen for the wicks in the Beis HaMikdash in general. So isn't this talking about the wool clothing that they would use, like the belts and things like that? And we answer, no, it's talking about using the linen clothes of the Kohanim to make wicks. Ravuna says that all these things in the Mishnah that you can't use for Shabbos, you can't use them for Hanukkah either, the wicks and these oil, whether it's Shabbos or for weekdays, you can't use them on your menorah. Rava says the reason is because Rav Huna holds that you have to relight the Hanukkah candles if they burn out, if they blow out. So you want to have good wicks and oil, meaning you don't want to use things that you know are probably not going to last so long. You want to use things from the get-go that will last a while. And he also holds that you're allowed to use the light from the Hanukkah candles. So that's why he doesn't allow you to use it on weekdays, because you want to eat something that's going to last in general. And the reason he doesn't allow you to use it on Shabbos also is because he holds that you can use the light from the Hanukkah candles. So if it's Shabbos and you're trying to use the light of the Hanukkah candles, you might forget and you might tilt the lamp to get the oil on the wicks on Shabbos because you want to get a better fire if you're using these bad wicks and oil. So therefore he says you can't use the bad wicks and oil because they're not going to last and they're not going to burn nicely. Rav Chisda says that you can use the bad wicks and oil on Hanukkah during the week, but you can't on Shabbos. The reason he holds like that is because he holds you don't have to relight if it burns out. So therefore, you don't have to get things that will last from the get-go. So that's how you can use them during the week. However, he also holds you can use the light of the menorah. So we don't want you to tilt the lamp on Shabbos. And that's why we don't let you use these things on Shabbos. Rav says that you can use the wicks and the oils both on Hanukkah, both during the week and on Shabbos. Rav Yirmiyah explains that according to Rav, you don't have to relight them, which is why you don't need things that are going to last, and you're not allowed to use the light, so we're not concerned that you're going to come to tilt over the lamp on Shabbos, so therefore Rav is totally fine with you using bad wicks and oils. So they taught this explanation of Rav from Rav Yirmiyah to Abaye, and he didn't accept it when it was taught in the name of Rav Yirmiyah. However, later they taught it the exact same thing to him in the name of Rav Yochanan, and he accepted it. And Abaye says, wow, I wish I had learned this much earlier. But why is he saying that? What do you mean you wish you learned it much earlier? You know it now, all right. So what's the big deal? You know it now. Because Abaye was teaching us that it's better to learn things when you're younger because then you grasp them better and you hold on to them better. Rav and Rav Chisda, do they really hold that you don't have to relight your Hanukkah candles if they blow out? However, we have a braisa that says that the time to light the candles is from sunset to when the market is empty. So doesn't this mean that you have to relight them if they blow out in this time? No, it's just teaching that you can light it any time. You can light your menorah any time before the market is empty. Another answer is that this is teaching you the amount of oil that you should gauge, that you should say, okay, I want it to last from sunset until the market is empty, and that's how much oil you should pour in. So when is the market considered empty? Rabbi Yochanan says it's once the Talmudians have left the market, because they were people that would stay in the market until very, very late. So once they've left, that's considered the market being empty. We have a braisa that teaches that the essential mitzvah, the bare basic mitzvah of Hanukkah, is to have one candle per night per household, meaning just one candle every night per house. The Mahajan way of doing it, the better way of doing it, is to have one candle per person every night. So you have per person in your house, you have one candle every night based on the amount of people in your house. And the Mahajan, Minim Mahajan, the best way to do it is Beis Shammai says the first day you should have 8 candles and then go down. And Beis Hillel says the first day you should have 1 candle and go up. Ula says there's a disagreement over the reasons between Rav Yossi Bar Oven and Rav Yossi Bar Zvida of why Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel differ. One says that Beis Shammai says the reason you go from 8 down to 1 is because it's corresponding to the days that you have left to come. And Beis Hillel says you go from 1 to 8 because it's corresponding to the days that have already passed. The other opinion says that Beis Shammai holds that you decrease the amount of candles just like they would decrease the amount of karbanot they would bring on Sukkot. And according to Beis Hillel, we're mal in Bikdusha. We ascend in matters of holiness, so we want to go up and always add more candles. So Rabbi Yochanan says there were two Zakenim, two elders in Sidon. One did like Beis Shammai because of the Karbanot reason, and one did like Beis Hillel because of Malim Bikdusha. For Bryce, that says that you have to put your menorah by your doorway outside. If you're on the second floor, you have to put it in. But if you're on the second floor and you can't put it by the door, you have to put it by a window which is facing out. If you can't do either of these because it's dangerous, like the government is, you know, watching out, they don't want people, they're trying to get Jews, and you can't do it, then you have to put it on your table. Rava says, in the case where you are putting it on your table, you have to light another candle in your room for light, because you don't want it to look like the menorah you just lit for light. You want it to look like the menorah is there for Hanukkah, so you have to light another light. If there's already a fire in that room, then it's fine. You don't have to. However, if there's a distinguished person in that room who wouldn't usually use a torch, you still need to light another fire, because even if there is already a fire there, because to really show that this is not for the distinguished person who's using it, it's really just for the mitzvah of Hanukkah. So the Gemara asks, "My Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah?" We have a braisa that says it starts on the 25th of Kislev. It's 8 days long. There's no eulogizing or fasting, because the Yevanim took over the Beis HaMikdash and they made all the oil tameh in the Beis HaMikdash. When the Chashmonaim beat them and they reclaimed the Beis HaMikdash, they were only able to find one sealed jar of oil, which lasted them for 8 nights. And even though there was only enough oil for one night in there, the next year they made it a holiday and they instituted Halal and Al Hanisim. The Mishnah, we have a Mishnah where we're going to try to learn out a halacha for Hanukkah. It says, if there's a spark from a blacksmith and it goes out and it damages something, the blacksmith is chayev. If you have a cow, he's chayev to pay the damages. If there's a camel who's loaded with flax, and the flax is sticking out, and he's going through a public domain, and that flax, which is on the camel and sticking out, it goes into a shop. If that flax catches on fire and it damages things, the person who owns the camel is chayev. However, if the shopkeeper put the fire outside and then the camel's flax caught on fire, the shopkeeper would be chayev. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's Hanukkah and the shopkeeper put his menorah outside, the shopkeeper would not be chayev. So Ravina says, from here we learn that the menorah has to be within 10 tefachim of the ground. Because if it didn't have to be so, then we could just tell the shopkeeper that he should have put his menorah higher up, out of harm's way. He shouldn't have left it low down. So we see from this that the menorah has to be left down low. However, maybe the reason that it's okay for the shopkeeper to have it that low is because if he has to go through the whole trouble of putting it above 10 tefachim, like putting up this, you know, thing to hold it up 10 tefachim high, then he's just going to stop doing the mitzvah. So we just say, yeah, you can just leave it down there, but it's not the mitzvah. We just don't want him to have to go through all this extra effort, because then he's not going to do it. And Rav Tanchum says that you are not allowed to put your menorah above 20 amos, just like your schach of your sukkah can't be more than 20 amos above the ground, and the korah, the crossbeam of a mavoi, can't be above 20 amos if you want to be able to carry in that mavoi. So too, like we had said, the menorah can't be above 20 amos from the ground. Shkach.